right now, I want to introduce our next storyteller, Dr. Lawrence Egbert. He's 88. He's a retired anesthesiologist, a faculty member at Johns Hopkins, and a former faculty member at University of Texas Southwestern Medical School. He's married to Ellen Barfield, who's a peace activist, and she's here tonight, and he hasn't been arrested as many times as she has, and that's a lot. So please welcome Dr. Egbert.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I would say right away that you've done your laughing. You're not going to laugh now. So I'm sorry about that, but that's the way it is. I was an anesthesiologist, and I put people to sleep for their operations or made them numb, and then and hopefully woke them up. One day, I was on my way to Parkland Memorial Hospital, and I was reading the newspaper, and I was dumbfounded to read that the prison down in Huntsville had used an anesthetic to execute a criminal. Well, I got quite upset about that, and I did quite a lot of talking about it. I even testified on a murder case where I said to the jury, this guy murdered somebody. Well, why should the state murder him? That doesn't make sense. Well, one day, the Unitarian Universalist minister, First Unitarian Church of Dallas, called me up at the hospital, and she said, would you be willing to give an anesthetic like that for somebody who wanted it? The key word here is wanted it, that. So I went over and saw her. I pointed out to her that if the Texas police got interested in me, they would call that murder. And she nodded her head. And I said, well, what are you going to do if that happens? She said, I'm with you. So I went to see the patient. And the patient had cancer in her lungs, and she'd cough and break a rib. It was awful. It was just awful to see her. And lo and behold, in the middle of all this, her daughter talked her out of it. So I became very curious about two things. One is, I was very curious at my own behavior. Here I was basically saying that I might be willing to give such an anesthetic. And here I was saying that I would maybe take my chances. Well, I've taken my chances. I've been arrested in three states. I was arrested first in Georgia. And you should be. I spent a few days in the holding center not too far downtown here where they hold people for a while. I didn't like that very much. I guess that was funny, wasn't it? The noise level was incredible. It's a horrible, horrible place. Well, the thing that happened then is that I realized that I should get more educated. So I bought a book called by Derek Humphrey called Final Exit. I joined the Hemlock Society. I also became the medical director for Final Exit Network, where we basically said, if a person wanted it, that was a reasonable thing to ask for. And then the question then was not that you don't have a right to hasten your death, but that I have a right to say I'll be there or not be there. So then that's the way the discussion would go in, asking why do you want to die? So I had a case, it was a lawyer. Yeah, I was not worried about lawyers right now, but he had a variant of Parkinson's disease. So he was doing this all the time. And he just, all the time, for years, something like 14 years he'd done this. And he decided he'd had it. He didn't want to do it anymore. So he got in touch with the Final Exit Network. And I got his case, and I talked with him on the telephone. And it turned out we asked all his, what's your wife say? His wife is a lawyer also. So he said she'll be there, and his son would be there, and he wasn't sure about his daughter. So when we got there, the daughter still hadn't made up her mind whether she was going to be there or not be there. So I said to her very seriously, I said, you take a few minutes and go off by yourself. We'll sit here and wait for you. But if you stay here with your father while he breathes the helium and dies, you'll never forget it. And if you go into another room or go out and don't stay here, you'll never forget that either. So you have to decide which is better and which is worse. So she went off by herself, and we just sat there and didn't say much of anything that I can remember. And I said, and she came back, and she says, I'll stay. So I said, good, so you hold his right shoulder. So she was holding his right shoulder, so that was less of shaking. And then she said, can I say something? And I said, sure. So she said, you know, you've had this disease since I was 6 years old, and you've still been the nicest daddy. The thing that might give you a laugh here is I've given this talk, this story, a number of times in churches and schools, and I always cry. And it's not funny at all. So we continued the organization. I was arrested in Georgia. I was sent down to Georgia on $60,000 worth of bail. That got my attention, I'll tell you. I was arrested in Arizona, went out to court there, and spent a couple of weeks there being in court. And then I was arrested in Minnesota, where I have to go to court again next month in December, this December. So I, the state of Maryland Board of Physicians has taken my license away, and they've compared me in the discussions with the court with a doctor who lies to the court, who lies to the board, and also with a doctor who has sex with his patients. And that gets me so angry that I get boiling. I start boiling right now telling you the story. But so my license had gone. The judge, I appealed the case, and the judge ruled that I would lose my license. So that's basically the end of the story. But it's in the middle of it. I'm not in the beginning, and I'm not in the end. I'm in the middle. And I had a patient, a psychiatrist, who had lung cancer, and she was dying, and she wanted to hasten her death. And she said the same thing. She said, "Can I say something?" I said, "Sure." And she said, "I've been an atheist all my adult life." She was waving her finger at us. "All my adult life, but God bless you." Thank you.